celebrate what is called Advent. Many of you are familiar with this tradition. And it simply means coming, where we remember the coming of our Savior to this world. And as he came to bring hope, peace, joy, and love. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. And tonight is the night where we come together to celebrate that Son tonight. Tonight, we celebrate the coming of Christ to this world. I'd like us all to bow our heads as we prepare our hearts for the word tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this night that you've given to us. We thank you that, Lord, we can come tonight. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. I pray, Father, Lord, for every song that has been sung, Lord, every scripture, that, Lord, you will be speaking to us tonight in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Praise God. I know if I go around this auditorium tonight, I'll probably find, if I ask, what was some of your favorite Christmas traditions? And of course, I'll get a lot of answers. I'm sure some of you will say, well, there's, of course, the carol singing. There's coming to church like this for a Christmas Eve service. And of course, there's always that Christmas dinner. How many love the can't wait for that Christmas dinner that is just waiting to be devoured? It's a time when we gather as our family and with our kids and our grandkids and our brothers and our sisters and our moms and our dads, and we celebrate the love that is the Christmas season. And of course, all the boys and girls are thinking, yeah, well, Pastor, I'm just waiting for the good thing tomorrow morning at about 4:45 when we're all gathered under the tree. We all have our favorite traditions. I remember growing up in a Swedish family, we always celebrated on Christmas Eve. Unlike this, we never came to a Christmas Eve service. Our tradition was on Christmas Eve, we would come together and as a family, my parents, my sister, grandma and grandpa, my aunt and uncle, and my two cousins, and grandma and my aunt and my mom had a wonderful spread prepared. The table was perfectly set. It was the one time in the year my grandma set out her perfect plates, her perfect cutlery, her perfect serving utensils. Everything was absolutely perfect. And then we would gather around the piano and there grandma would play and lead us into some favorite carol, some Swedish, that my cousins and I were kind of scratching our heads and we were all kind of elbowing each other thinking, come on, let's get to the good stuff. The tree is downstairs and it is full of presents. We'd get downstairs finally and before anything, Grandpa would take out his Bible and with his Swedish accent in low baritone voice would read to us the Christmas story that Marianne just recited for us a moment ago. Yes, it was absolutely perfect. Tonight I want to share a message on the perfect Christmas. Or maybe I should say it this way, with a question mark at the end. A perfect Christmas? Because for many people tonight, and maybe you're here, and Christmas is anything but perfect. You may be coming with family, but yet there is an empty chair at the table of a loved one who's no longer with us. Or maybe you're here and your family is somewhere else and you wish that you could be there. And maybe there are situations that have arisen that have caused you to question, is this really what God meant by a perfect Christmas? What is that perfect Christmas? Just let me share with you tonight on God's perfect Christmas. We've heard several scriptures tonight. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatian believers, he writes two verses that so beautifully summarize what the perfect Christmas is all about. Let me read it for you. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into the world, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Here God says that Christmas is perfect for three reasons. Number one, it's perfect in his timing. Notice what he says in verse 4, "But when the perfect time had fully come." What made that time so perfect? Was it because, it looked like a good time for Jesus to be born? So he said, Mary, you're going to have a child. No. You see, the coming of Christ in the manger, Bethlehem, the angels, everything that we know of the Christmas story, it didn't just happen 2,000 years ago in a small little shepherding village in Judea. No. You see, it happened much longer than that. In the Old Testament, there are in excess of 349 verses that specifically talk about the birth of Jesus, how he would be born, where he would be born, why he was going to be born. And every single one of those verses, those prophecies, have been fulfilled. We heard of one of those prophecies read tonight from Isaiah chapter 9. And earlier on, 700 years before, the prophet had prophesied that a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. You see, it was perfect in time because it was perfect theologically. Everything that had been said. But it wasn't just happening 700 years before Christ. No, way before that, in eternity past, God had already set the time. He knew what was going to happen. He was going to send his Son. He says, born of a virgin, born under the law. God sent his Son, which means that he was fully divine. He was born of a woman, which means he was fully human. He had all that there was needed to be the Christ. He was all that was needed to be the Messiah, to be the Savior. And he was also fully human so that he could identify with each and every one of us tonight. For those of you who may be asking the question, a perfect Christmas? I want you to understand that the reason why Christmas is good news, the reason why the angels could proclaim good news, is because on that night, God's Son was born. And because he was born, we can say we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have an high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, Christmas is perfect because not only was it the right time, we have the right Savior. He came as God so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. You see, we're not just celebrating the birth of a baby. Oh, the birth of a baby always is good news. Come on, let's be honest. There is nothing unnatural and unbeautiful about the birth of a baby. We all love it. And in fact, the ugliest baby in the world will always be the most beautiful. There is something perfect about that. But if that baby had only been that, and he grew up, then he would have been nothing more than a good teacher. He would have been nothing more than a prophet, maybe. But he could never have ever solved our problem, and that's the problem of sin. But because he was God in the flesh, he was able to go, he lived, he performed miracles, he opened the eyes of the blind, he raised the dead. And then when he was taken to the cross, he was beaten, he was bruised, and there he died, taking upon himself the sins of humanity, your sin, my sin. But the good news is that that baby not only grew up to be a man, he not only grew up to be a great teacher, he not only grew up to be a great deliverer, he grew up to be a great savior and a great king of kings, the conqueror over death, hell, and the grave. Because after he was crucified, they laid him in a tomb, and then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. That's why he's the perfect savior. And he's the perfect redeemer. See, the reason why he's so perfect is because all of us come here tonight to the manger like those shepherds with nothing. And the Bible says that he loved us not only to give us his son, but he loved us even while we were still sinners. He gave us his son to die for us, so that he would pay the price for your sin and mine. What does it mean to be redeemed? I came across a story this week, and the reason it touched me was I first remember this story when I was a little boy. It's a story about little Tom. Little Tom, it was his birthday. And his dad came, and his dad wasn't very wealthy, but he had been working for weeks and months carving a beautiful little toy sailboat. And when he gave it to Tom, Tom was so excited. And his dad said, "Now remember, son, if you're going to sail this boat, keep it on this string and don't put it in the water where it's deep and where the currents are rough." And he said, "Sure, Dad, I know. No problem." So he went down to the little creek, and he had it tied a rope, and he was walking along the shore of the creek until it got to be a little wider towards the mouth of where the river started, and the current started to get a little bit rougher and rougher until finally there was enough current. It pulled that little boat and that string out of Tommy's hand. Tommy tried to run down the shore, trying to follow it, but it soon went out of sight. He was heartbroken. He went home. He cried. He didn't know what to do. Till one day he was walking downtown in his small town, and in front of the toy store, there in the front window was, you guessed it, it was his boat, the one his dad bought him. He went into the store and asked the shopkeeper, sir, that's my boat. The shopkeeper said, I'm sorry, son, someone brought this in here, and if you want it, you're going to have to buy it. He went home. He was so sad. He didn't know what to do. One day he went back to the store, and the shopkeeper came out to him, son, you can come in here for a moment. And he said, here, the boat's yours. And he says, I don't understand. I didn't have enough money. And he said, someone came in and they paid for the boat for you. It's now yours. Little boy grabbed that boat and he hugged it with both arms, saying, oh, you're mine. I lost you. And then I have you again, and you're now mine. My friends, that's what Jesus did for you. He paid the price for you. We couldn't do it of ourselves. We couldn't earn it of ourselves. But he went to the cross. The Father sent his Son to the cross to purchase our salvation. And so now we can come and we can enter into a relationship calling Abba, Father. You know what Abba means? It means Daddy. Oh, my friend, God came. It was the perfect time. He gave us a perfect Savior to give us a perfect redemption. And today he's saying, will you receive my Son? With every head bowed and eye closed. Father, I thank you for this day. And I pray for everyone in this room tonight. Lord, I thank you that not only did you come as a babe in a manger, but you came to be our Savior and Redeemer. And one day you're coming as our King. And right now, you look upon us with a smile, waiting for us to come. And I pray, Lord, for anyone in this room who doesn't yet know you, that they would see your open arms and come and be received by you today. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to just invite you to pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the manger. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for rising again. And today, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and help me to serve you all of my life. I worship you. And for anyone who is here today, and maybe you've come to this Christmas season and you're wondering, a perfect Christmas? It's anything but. You have a perfect Savior today who knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly how you're feeling. He knows exactly what you're thinking. And he simply invites you to come with your needs where you will find grace to help. Lord, be with every one of my friends here tonight. Lord, I pray that they, as they give that situation to you, Lord, that you would just intervene in each situation tonight. Provide, Lord, those jobs. Provide for that family. Provide, Lord, God, bring joy and peace from the pain. Lord, we rejoice in you tonight and trust you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to invite Sue to the front. Oh. Oops.